And welcome back, everyone. My name is Kaz, and joining me once again is special guest Sly09.
Hello!
And this is episode 100.
100.
Actually, wow.
100.
I've done 100 of these. It's crazy. Of the Skulls cast. And today we're doing a set review, continuing the set review of Shadows over Innistrad with the green card. So why don't you get us started?
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and start things off with Aim High. Green and one for an instant at common. Untap target creature. It gets +2/+2 and gains reach until end of turn.
That's a combat trick that green has gotten a couple of versions of. Like, even dating back to actual Innistrad, there was Spidery Grasp.
Spidery Grasp.
And then there was, like, tiny Spidery Grasp in Eldrazi.
Yes, thing. Vines of the Recluse.
Vines of the Recluse. That one mana trick in green that does things.
It did everything.
It does everything. But, yeah, I mean, this is kind of a middle ground of those two. Like, at the very least, it's a... what was that white spell called? Mighty Leap?
Yeah, Mighty Leap.
Sort of a Mighty Leap. I mean, Mighty Leap is way more aggressive and goes over your opponent's head.
This one, like, the difference between... So this is +1 power on Vines of the Recluse, and that's the only actual change for one mana. But that +1 power matters a lot more, because it means, oh, by the way, I untap, your creature is mega dead, and you didn't see it coming.
Yeah, you know? No, this is pretty dang strong as far as combat tricks go. And with as uncommon as flying is, when it does happen, it's like, oh my god, how do I beat this creature? Well, this is how. You aim high.
Aim high, and it will see you through. All right, let's move along to the Briarbridge Patrol. Green and three for a 3/3 human warrior at uncommon. Whenever Briarbridge Patrol deals damage to one or more creatures, investigate. At the beginning of each end step, if you sacrifice three or more clues this turn, you may put a creature card from your hand onto the battlefield.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Beginning of each end step. Yeah, I guess it's free. Okay, a lot of the phrasing on this looks kind of funky, and it does have 8 lines of text on it, including the reminder text. So the reason it says one or more creatures is to stop the ambiguity over, like, oh, I double block it. Do you investigate twice? No, you don't. It's like deals the damage, and then there you go.
You're always getting one clue out of it, and it also has to deal damage to a creature, not players.
Right. Unblockable Hill Giant sounds pretty good, right?
Right. I mean, this lady is pretty good just on that, and also Hill Giant that, you know, I trade and get a card out of it.
Right.
Also
you
good.
Get the clue. I don't think the other, like, it's like a Planeswalker almost. It has this other ability that's not happening. But if you're the clue deck and, you know, you spend 6 mana, draw 3 cards, and one of them's a creature, then, hey, cool.
Of note, it doesn't care how the clues are sacrificed, much like anything else that says if you sacrificed clues. So if you have some other way of sacrificing 3 clues, like rare artifact that makes clues every turn.
My cult of the rebirth, yes!
This lady's got a cool dog, and this lady's got cool giant shoulders.
Right, and a trusty machete. Like,
yeah.
This woman has it all.
Yeah.
It's a pretty powerful card.
This card's great. It's basically a 3/3 version of the next card with a little more upside. So,
well, let's move right along to the next card.
So the next card we have is the Byway Courier. Green and 2 for a 3/2 human scout at common. When Byway Courier dies, investigate.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I wonder if I know I have seen this specific hood somewhere. Like the hood with like a curtain in front of it instead of... Where have I seen that? Like on a Magic card even.
In this set?
Block? I don't think in this block. Oh, wait. No, I'm thinking of the morph card from Khans of Tarkir. I know, the morph card from Khans of Tarkir.
Uh-huh.
I cast a morph. The one that would like give you mana when it flipped up and then tap for mana.
The Rattleclaw Mystic.
Rattleclaw Mystic, yeah. That person also had the like danglies in front of the hood, and it made no sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense here. I'm going to make fun of this clothing a little bit.
One thing we're probably not making fun of is the text of this card.
Oh no, yeah, no. Sweet card.
This is one of the cards that makes me say 3/2s are king when you have a 3-mana 3/2 that you don't want to trade with because like you play your bear, I play this, and then you trade and I'm up a card. You know, it's like, oh, that's.
Mm. Yeah, like even you can attack with this as a pikers and still be totally fine with it.
Yeah, it's like, okay, fine. You get the trade and then I get the card back out of it and call it even.
What is this person currying either? It's like a egg with a little...
Egg with a knife?
Claw. That egg has a knife. Watch out.
Egg knife.
Or wait, is that the clue? Mm. Do we have to kill him and take it?
That's got to be the clue. That's definitely
so clue. That's what clues look like.
Yeah, that's what, okay. that's what one of the clues looks like.
What a silly card. Yeah. Good, but like, jeez.
Yeah, good card. Let's move along to Clip Wings. Green and one for an instant at common. Each opponent sacrifices a creature with flying.
What a funky phrasing. Since when does green get, like, opponent sacrifice?
Right, like, I guess this is a... We wanted to have plummet, but we also have to have a way to make it better worse than plummet because, you know, one of the things of flavorful of the set is that the angels have indestructible. Like, in a flavor sense, because Avacyn just says indestructible, all your creatures have indestructible from Avacyn Restored. So the idea is getting around that. But usually it's just, I sack my spirit token, let's move along.
Right.
Like it's how it plays out.
It also has this funky plant for two-headed giant.
Yeah, each like, opponent.
Yeah, as if both of your opponents are going to have flying creatures. So this is going to... There's no sideboarding in two-headed giant either, so...
Yeah, it's one game.
Man, you just have to mainboard and hope that they both have flying creatures, and then, oh my god, you would blow them out so hard.
This is another one of those cards that we've talked about before that look like it's here because it wants to be, like, telling part of the story, you know?
Yeah. Even better, that the specific angel pictured on the art has, like, four different cards devoted to it.
Yeah, it's the 4/4 angel that recurs spirits from Innistrad proper. Angel of Flight Alabas? No.
Angel of Soul's Betrayal? Wait, no.
No. Angel of Infinite Reet? No.
Okay. I'm going to move on.
Yeah, let's move along to Confront the Unknown. A single green for an instant at common. Investigate. Then, target creature gets +1/+1 until the end of turn for each clue you control.
That's okay. I mean, the set has a giant growth, I guess.
Yeah. I guess the set has, like, a fake wild size.
Yeah, it always draws you a card, so that's pretty cool. Well, sort of.
Yeah. I've grown more and more to respect this, not only because I have this like of 1-mana tricks because they let you have a trick when it looks like you shouldn't, but sometimes this is just giant growth that draws you a card, and not by any, like, you don't have to work too hard for that.
Right. I mean, this is what? How many cards in are we? And we already have three that say investigate on them.
Yeah.
That's, like, crazy.
It's one of Green's things is investigate, and a lot of the cards that do so are pretty strong because they're already good on their own. So,
yeah. Let's be honest here. The dude on this art is confronting the known.
There's nothing unknown going on.
Come on. What's inside my fist? You don't know. It's a beatdown. Oh, I knew it.
Is the unknown the green, like, sparks that are coming off the sword? Like,
is the unknown, like, what's behind that one guy's face or what his hat is made of? Like, what?
Yeah.
Man.
Very little is unknown about this card.
It does look like a confrontation, but not like the...
I guess confront the known just isn't as good a card.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. Confront the known. It's like, oh, well, I do that every day at my job. Come on.
We are constantly confronting the known, much like these two.
Like, we can confront the next card, which is sort of unknown.
Yeah, let's confront Crawling Sensation. Green and two for an enchantment and uncommon. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may put the top two cards of your library into your graveyard. Whenever one or more land cards are put into your graveyard from anywhere for the first time each turn on a Tuesday, put a 1/1 green insect creature token onto the battlefield. That got this, away from me.
Yeah, no, I understand. So
whenever a land goes to your grave, make a 1/1.
You get at maximum 1/1/1 each turn.
Yes.
And even then, it's like
this.
There's conditions on whether you even will.
This seems like I mean it's quite obviously a card for like enabling Delirium. That's
right.
Kind of its main focus, with a secondary focus on making 1/1s every once in a while.
Right. I guess you could also like discard land cards.
Or like use the fake Terramorphic Expanse in the set, or discarding lands is probably more likely though, because we've talked about discard outlets, and that's kind of what you want to throw away to.
So it seems like Crawling Sensation is a solution in search of a problem.
Like, yeah.
Okay, if I have Delirium cards in my deck, then maybe this will help me turn them on. Or if I have a bunch of Madness stuff and leftover discard outlets with nothing to discard other than lands, then maybe I can. I want to put this one in the garbage.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to say that this is worth anything. Like spider spawning, okay? Spider spawning could make like 15 tokens.
Well, spider spawning was a card that you picked and decided that was your plan. This is a card you pick only if this already is your plan. Like, you don't pick this and say, yes, this was the key thing I needed to be in Delirium. You pick this and say, oh, I am already in Delirium. This might help my plan a little more.
Yeah, I think this will go really late and then not make the deck.
Right. Let's move along to another enchantment. The Cryptolith Rite. Green and one for an enchantment at rare. Creatures you control have tap. Add one mana of any color to your mana pool.
Everybody's a mana elf, eh? Well, if I'm just getting a green insect creature every turn, then
everybody really is. This.
I guess it could be like a perverted mana ritual. Like, have all these junky creatures and don't know what to do with them. Aha! For two mana, they can all add mana to my pool. And
it's partially that. The best usage I can see with this is when you have some sort of mana sink. So you're sitting there like, oh, okay, I have something I can feed mana into. What if all my creatures in this board stall also tapped for that?
That would be pretty cool. Like, I can see this pairing with the black enchantment that makes vampires. You're just like, oh, my lifelink vampire is also tapped for any color of mana.
Yeah, and from a constructed standpoint, this card has seen play in a number of, like, combo decks.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, wait, do we still have Jeskai Ascendancy around? Because that's how...
that's not the combo that it uses. We don't actually still have Jeskai Ascendancy. That rotated.
Oh, right. Okay.
The two decks that I can think of that use this, one is like a Nantuko Husk deck. Like Nantuko Husk, Zulaport Enforcer tries to kill you in that manner. And the other one is trying to set up an infinite combo. I guess the same sort of thing, Zulaport Enforcer and a Sack Outlet, but uses Brood Monitor, and which makes three Eldrazi Scions, and then Eldrazi Displacer, which is three mana of blink a creature to create an infinite loop. And the Cryptolith Rite lets you accelerate into it.
Yeah, I suppose there's that. I can't see this doing all that much in limited.
No, not really something you want there. Let's move on to something you might want there.
Oh yeah.
Moving along to the Cult of the Waxing Moon. Green and four for a 5/4 human shaman at uncommon. Whenever a permanent you control transforms into a non-human creature, put a 2/2 green wolf token onto the battlefield.
So, Spined Worm. Got it.
Yeah, it's Spined Worm, but sometimes makes you some 2/2s.
That's kind of cool. And definitely worth it. I mean, Spined Worm is just fine. And, you know, the kind of funky part, I guess, is that the thing that is transforming has to be a creature on the other end.
Yeah, like, the wording on this is set up so that it can't be... Like, it wants you to get a wolf when your werewolves transform onto werewolf side, not onto human side.
Yeah.
So they had to come up with a wording that worked with that. And this is, I guess, what it ends up being. And so some transform cards, even if they flip into a non-human, it doesn't...
Right, because there's the... We'll get to these eventually, but there's, like, a scarecrow who flips into an equipment that flips into a different equipment... You know, like, because it does say permanent, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not becoming a creature, so it doesn't give you a wolf. I suppose the best would be one of those like vampires that turns into a spirit or something. Like, oh, flip it up, I'm better than any werewolf. Whoop.
I guess, yeah. Even like Heir of Falconwrath works with this. Mm-hmm. So.
And we'll get to like the transform cards is like the last thing basically, so
right. So like green might seem a little like it's missing something here. That's because it's
yeah,
missing
it's missing
nature.
Like a million werewolves.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move along to another creature we've got here, the Deathcap Cultivator. Green and one for a 2/1 human druid at rare. Tap, add black or green to your mana pool. Delirium. Deathcap Cultivator has Death Touch as long as there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard.
Now this is a Delirium card I can get behind. Because yes. It's a piker that taps for two different colors of mana.
Well, it kind of shows off how, I guess, what Delirium is supposed to do, where it's, okay, early game, this serves a purpose. And then late game, the Delirium ability gives it a second life of sorts, where your mana dork now can trade with their anything once it's done its job of tapping for mana because you have eight lands.
Yeah. Also, this is a dude who just really loves mushrooms.
Yeah.
check me out.
A lot of mushrooms everywhere.
Growing them on my own body. Do you think he's been standing still for long enough to like grow those?
He might have to like move with the sun, like out of the sun, like to.
Oh right. Yeah. No, he slowly rotates. As the day goes by.
Yeah.
That's why they're only on one side of his body.
Yeah, because he needs the other side to be able to pick them and such. But yeah, I kind of like the Ravclaw Mystic we talked about before. Mm-hmm. You know, Piker that taps for multiple colors.
One last thing to say about Deathcap Cultivator. The flavor text suggests that, oh, stay away from that old hermit. Oh, he's a sweetie todd. He feeds his mushrooms blood or whatever.
Yeah.
But here's it's phrased, you know, the old hermit would never say what he fed his mushrooms, and people learned not to ask. Who's asking a hermit anything? He's a hermit.
Other hermits?
You don't meet him every, yeah, the hermit club, I'm sure. You don't meet a hermit every, he's out apart from, he's on his own. You don't ask a hermit what he's up to because you don't ask him anything because he's a hermit.
I think it might be more they kept asking him and he wouldn't answer, so everybody just decided, well,
fine,
the answer,
fine.
We're
kicking you out of town. You're a hermit now.
let's move along here.
Okay.
We've got Equestrian Skill. Green and three for an enchantment aura at common. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +3/+3. As long as enchanted creature is a human, it has trample.
So, like, Mantle of War Mammoth, but only if you're a human?
Yeah.
At least it's, like, permanent giant growth no matter what. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, just not being a trick. You just get to, you know, like... The model for this would be on turn three, you play something like Byway Courier, and then on four, like, try to follow it up with this, and...
Yeah. I think the actual model is you play Jeskai Scout, and then... Mm-hmm. what was that one called in this? Prowess
Lantern.
Spirit.
No. Niblis of the...
Niblis of Kung Fu.
Yeah, Nibbles of the Kung Fu.
Yeah, Nibbles of the Kung Fu on 3, and then Equestrian Skill on 4.
Ah, you know Kung Fu. I think the real model for this is you don't include it in your deck. But...
I don't think it's that bad. I mean, okay, fine. Maybe there's real removal in the set at some point.
Yeah, I mean, this is an aura with no, you know, no protection, no way to innately.
I mean, +3 toughness is a kind of protection.
As long as they don't have like the kill spell in response.
Yeah.
So,
I honestly don't think it's quite that bad. But green is pretty deep to begin with, apart from a couple like janky rares and uncommons that we've seen. So,
I think that might be more is the point. Like, you'd rather be playing an actual combat trick,
right? Also, amusingly, like if you put this on one of your werewolves, your creature now conditionally has trample.
Sometimes.
Yeah. That's cute. Nope, also that's my dog.
Hello.
Dog is a little upset that I'm in the other room talking about green cards.
Well, let's talk about another green card.
All right.
Let's take a look at Fork in the Road. Green and one for a sorcery at common. Search your library for up to 2 basic land cards and reveal them. Put one into your hand and the other into your graveyard. Then shuffle your library.
This seems kind of bobo. Like, you don't even get an extra land drop. It doesn't ramp you at all. It's like,
it's like Sylvan Scrying for a basic. Like,
man, that sounds miserable.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like Caravan Vigil, which was 1 green for it, and it's still, like, okay.
Oh, man. You want to know the worst part about this is that it tries to call back to Rampant Growth with the art. Like, it has the little, like, Hokusai wave of land or whatever on the one half. But, you know, Rampant Growth, this ain't...
I mean, so the other half of this is it's like, you know, you have 50% of delirium from casting the card. Like, that's the other part here, you know? You put a land in your grave, you put a sorcery in your grave.
Yeah.
That's...
And honestly, I like this delirium enabler better than Crawling Sensation, so I guess you could do worse.
Right. Like, I've accepted this card into a couple decks, and it feels kind of bad wasting your 2 on not a 2-drop, but... Consistency is what it is.
Well, moving on.
Yeah, moving along to an old friend, Gloom Widow. Green and 2 for a 3/3 spider at uncommon. Reach. Gloom Widow can block only creatures with flying.
Now, hold on. 1, this is a reprint. 2, we've already talked about this card when we were talking about the wolf who like likes other wolves.
We did. We talked about this one.
You could have a deck of like nothing but trained Armadons. That's nuts.
Yeah, nothing but trained Armadons that can conditionally block. And this one is, you know, historically it's been quite good. It continues to be quite good here. You know, everything we said about the 3/3 wolf applies to it, and it also gets, you know, allows you to answer flying creatures when maybe your deck normally wouldn't have any way to.
And there are a lot of flying creatures that this guy just grumps right away. Like, all the spirit tokens, the little, like, 1 toughness guys.
Yeah. Nibbles doesn't really want to attack into this.
Anything I mean, unless it has Equestrian Skill.
Okay, if the Nibbles is a horse, then the spider does not want to interact at all.
Do you think the horse just follows the ghost around? Like, does it flies overhead, and then the horse is like, no, I'm with him. But yeah, does the horse become a ghost?
Yeah, maybe it's like I'm thinking like Skyrim, where your horse just ends up like on a cliff somewhere.
Oh my god. I had that happen a couple times, and I had to like I had to reset the game because the horse would die, even though I wouldn't. Because horses can climb like sheer cliffs or whatever, but going down is a risky proposition.
Yeah,
I did not have the Equestrian Skill.
No, and so yeah, Gloom Widow. I think we've talked mostly about it. It's a strong card.
Yeah.
So let's move along to another strong 3-drop, the Graf Mole. green and two for a 2/4 mole beast at uncommon. Whenever you sacrifice a clue, you gain 3 life.
That's just decent all around.
Yeah.
Like, I accept Pillar Field Ox as, like, this baseline for creatures. It's not perfect, but it's okay.
Acceptable.
And this is, like, cheaper Pillar Field Ox with upside.
Yeah, if you're attempting
to stop...
Or
Gray Ogre.
Yeah, if you want to stop the aggressive player, like, okay, here's my wall, like, you know, sit in front of it. Also, by the way, later in the game, I'm just going to gain 6 life. Like,
yeah,
that's fine.
That's pretty good. And, you know, you don't even ever have to sacrifice a clue for this guy to be fine. So, I'm cool with the mole.
Yeah, I like this card a lot. And if you're playing any sort of aggressive deck with, like, the 3/3s that we just talked about, like Gloom Widow, this is just the stopper. So, does good. What's going on with the mole here? It's hanging out in, like, a graveyard?
Yeah, well, that's what a graph is.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it loves the smell of corpses.
Yes.
It loves blocking zombies.
I had internally, like, turned the word graph into, like, a name, like Graphsmole.
Mr. Graph. I mean, I guess, like, Nathan Graves is a name, so sure.
Sure, okay.
Why not, actually?
Okay. Well, let's move along to another card that's probably hanging out in the graveyard. The Groundskeeper. Single green for a 1/1 human druid at uncommon. Green and one. Return target basic land card from your graveyard to your hand.
This guy is also a reprint, mm-hmm. and I remember this because I used to have a Seismic Assault deck. And he was kind of fun with it. Like, aha! 2 mana shocks forever! Wah! I tap all my lands sideways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's doing anything amazing here. I mean, he gives you extra fodder for your discard outlets that you picked but then never found the madness cards for. He turns off your delirium if you're really into that. He picks up the card that you missed from Fork in the Road.
Yeah, I think that's more what it's doing is more card advantage style things, but like for discard outlets.
It's kind of tough to imagine that this guy is the tipping point in like a grindy card advantage matchup. And for that purpose, you're playing a 1-mana 1/1. And that's kind of lame.
It's not even like, we've seen a lot of good 1-mana 1/1s already, and this ain't one.
Oh, yeah. Like, red and black each had like a 1-mana vampire mm-hmm. that was like, hey. I can do things. And this guy's like, yeah, I can do things too. And you're like, no. I don't want those things. You'll play him. He'll be a 1/1. You'll never actually... And target basic land card, too. You can't even, like, rebuy your Evolving Wilds.
Yeah, the Warped Landscape. Basic. Oh, well. Let's move along to a card that won't make a lot of sense until we... see some flip cards, but Hellpack Resurgence. Green and two for an enchantment and uncommon. Flash. Each creature you control that's a wolf or a werewolf gets +1/+1 and has trample.
Okay. Each creature you control that's named Steve. +1/+1.
Each creature you control that has a hat.
Each hatted creature. In this case, it's like the opposite. Each hatless creature that you control.
Right. So this thing's pretty powerful if you're pretty heavy into the wolf or werewolf thing.
It's a shame that it doesn't do literally anything for your other creatures.
Yeah, it only does anything for your wolves and werewolves. It works very well with that. The flash lets it both act as a combat trick and... You know, you pass the turn, let your werewolves flip, and then you cast your spell.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. No, it's... Yeah, it's relegated to, like, lame helper if you already have an excellent deck full of consistent things.
I'd say remove the word lame from it. It's just a helper. And
I think it's kind of lame. I think it'll never come together. okay, like Flash Glorious Anthem sounds cool, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not even like a real it's like +1/+1 to like one or two creatures you control, actually.
You do have to have a pretty dedicated deck for this card to work. Like a pretty dedicated, like, you know, if you have three creatures and none of them are werewolves, you're going to feel very silly drawing this.
Yep. So. But anyway, there's room in the game of Magic the Gathering for cards that work that way.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move along to the next card that's also, three mana. Tipping point here. The Inexorable Blob. Green and two for a 3/3 ooze at rare. Delirium. Whenever an Inexorable Blob attacks, if there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard, put a 3/3 green ooze creature token onto the battlefield, tapped and attacking.
Holy shit. How many trained Armadons does one set need? And this makes like additional 3/3s.
This is a trained Armadon that generates trained Armadons. What can you do about it?
Yeah, I feel like that role that we were talking about with Delirium of being like functional and then like amazing.
Yeah.
Crap.
This one, like, if you have Delirium on turn four somehow when you attack with this, you're going to feel, like, unbeatable. Like, oh, I'm just going to attack with six power, you know? That's. By the way, the tokens don't, like, die. They're not.
Right. This is not a
Geist of Saint Draft.
Although, even if it was, jeez.
Right, you'd still be fine. It's just. Oh, by the way, you get to keep your 3/3s.
No kidding. Try to exer this blob. You can't.
It's completely inexorable. There no exes can be done to it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool illustration on this. I love that.
Yeah, it's like coming out of the house.
It's finished with eating the house, and now it's moving on to like the goblins that are. Wait, is that a goblin face? There aren't any goblins on Innistrad. Where did this thing come from?
This can't even be graveyard art from somewhere else. Like,
some kind of clue.
Is that the clue? Goblins? Are goblins the clue? Let's see what other clues we can find.
Okay.
Let's take a look at the Intrepid Provisioner. Green and three for a 3/3 human scout at common. Trample. When Intrepid Provisioner enters the battlefield, another target human you control gets +2/+2 until end of turn.
So I had invoked the name of War Mammoth before, fully not remembering that the set does have a War Mammoth in it.
It's true. And a pretty good text on that War Mammoth.
Yeah, no kidding. He's got the equestrian skill.
Yeah, that's the second horse.
Ah.
See?
So this is a perfectly fine card. It serves the double role of being like Hill Giant with minor upside, and then if you do have a bunch of humans, then it's also like immediate value. So that's pretty cool.
Right. Gets better if you have more of them.
Oh man. Turn four, Intrepid Provisioner. Turn five, Intrepid Provisioner 2 on Intrepid Provisioner. Take five.
Bam.
That's pretty sweet.
Trampling in.
This is probably the best hat that we've seen so far, too. It's just a crisp tricorn.
Yeah, the only other hat I can think of that we've seen in this was on Confront the Unknown.
Do mushrooms count as hats?
I don't think mushrooms. Well, I don't know if they have mushrooms on their head.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we have some hoods, too.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Cult of the Waxing Moon has a bunch of, like, Princess Mononoke hat things. So that's kind of cute.
Crawling anyway, sensation is the hat.
Yeah. This is a pretty solid card. Happy to see
it. Gives you a horse and then is a 3/3.
You know, the one thing I'm not satisfied with, though, is the name. Like, this is kind of a crack in the armor of Magic the Gathering card names. My thought being, if we can have provisioners, then what's stopping us from having actuaries or accountants? Like, is the next set going to have Grizzled Accountant?
I think all the way back to, is it Fallen Empires with the money collector?
Money changer.
Money changer, that's it. Yes, the money.
Yeah,
chain.
Okay. Maybe the veneer had cracks in it dating back longer than Shadows Over Innistrad. Money Changer was a stupid card, too.
I know.
You're like, you paid him 3 life. And
the Money Changer slowly gives you back your 3 life.
Anyway.
All right, let's move along to the next card, the Kesig Direswine. Double green and 4 for a 6/6 boar horror at common. Delirium. Kesig Direswine has trample as long as there are 4 or more card types among cards in your graveyard.
Yeah, you don't care because you have a 6 mana 6/6. The
right.
thing is already a gorilla. In fact, this is another card that lets us reenact Princess Mononoke, actually. So we have Cult of the Waxing Moon for the little, like, wolf hat things.
Mm-hmm.
And then this thing is the boar monster from the beginning of that movie. So,
yeah, I think we even had a couple other cards that we said the same thing about already in this set.
Huh. Weird.
Yeah.
All we need is, like, lepers making guns, and then we're set.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen in the game of Magic the Gathering because they've retconned guns completely out of all of Magic. Anytime something gets reprinted that had a gun in its original art, it's now not. I remember the most infamous example was like a goblin who just had a revolver sticking out of his back pocket.
We do get comedic gun. Goblin Sharpshooter in its last iteration I can think of had this gigantic comedic looking gun with like 20 scopes and like a bunch of like very silly looking woozles on the side of it. Like, that's the last gun I can think of.
Yeah, well, until that happens, we're not gonna fully reenact Princess Mononoke. Although Kesig Direswine is just fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 6/6. That's huge.
Green is green because it gets beef this size at common.
Mm-hmm. It's what it does. Speaking of what it does, let's go ahead and take a look at the next card, Loam Dryad. Single green for a 1/2 Dryad horror at common. Tap Loam Dryad, tap an untapped creature you control, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool.
This seems left over. Like, shouldn't this say tap an untapped ally you control? Really? Did they just not have room for that? Did they have a similar card already? I don't remember the other sets very well.
Yeah, there was one that just tapped for mana equal to the number of allies you controlled back in old Zendikar. But this is, this is cohort, though.
Cohorts with anything.
Yeah.
To be honest, this is not the worst. I mean, 1-mana 1/2s being that much larger than 1-mana 1/1s, which I despise.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be okay with 1-mana 1/1s, but they have to have flying now for me to love them. And you guys ridicule me for that, and for good reason.
I need different text. I need more than just flying. You gotta give me something more. This is color fixing. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it also makes use of, like, little token guys you have sitting around.
Ah, like 1/1s from when your lands go to your graveyard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh. That's what you're tapping.
Pretty lame as far as mana elves go, though.
They've really tamped back on both Rampant Growth and mana elves these days. Like, we see it, instead of Llanowar Elf and Rampant Growth, we get Fork in the Road and this.
Right. Which is kind of a shame for them to decide, because there are so many excellent 1-mana accelerators already existing in the game of Magic the Gathering that, you know, if you go back to Eternal formats, you have your pick of some who tap for any color and have flying, or add power to your board immediately.
Or tap for snow mana. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god.
That's what you want.
That's actually real, though. There's this.
I know.
It's like a Skred deck kicking around.
Oh, that was really cool.
God, that little guy is a snow creature, so he adds to your Skred.
Yeah, makes your Skred work a little harder. Let's move along to the next card, Might Beyond Reason. Green and 3 for an instant at common. Put 2 +1/+1 counters on target creature. Delirium. put 3 +1/+1 counters on that creature instead if there are 4 or more card types among cards in your graveyard.
Oh, so this is the permanent giant Groot that I was talking about.
Yeah, this is the equestrian skill, which is becoming the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Like this.
I don't know about you, but this guy looks totally reasonable. It's just like that confronting the unknown thing. Come on.
Well, I have to. You're right. Like, this is just. I'm sorry. Is this like Kenshiro before you get punched 100 times? Is that what's going on here? We have the picture taken right at the moment the shirt rips.
Right. That's not even the least reasonable part of this card.
What is the
least reasonable part of this card is that window in the background to the right.
What is going on with
I
that?
Know, like, it's supposed to have straight slats, like, to hold the panes of glass in place. What glazier would make, like, 20 different individual shards of glass at different angles and then have to, like, carve the wood to fit it? Why would you do that?
Even more so, how many times do, like, windows just shatter in this set? Why would you, like...
Is that a shattered window that someone has just, like, poorly boarded up to make it look like it's still there?
Maybe that's it, because they just don't want to keep repairing it, because every week another werewolf jumps through it, and they're just like,
I'm so sick of this. Let me just board it up. I don't know how to make straight lines.
Ah, this is art.
This is might. Beyond
might. Might beyond might. All right, let's move along to the next card, the Moldgraf Scavenger. Green and 1 for an 0/4 fungus at common. Delirium, Moldgraf Scavenger gets +3/+0 as long as there are 4 more card types among cards in your graveyard.
This guy isn't bad.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he's a common. He's a wall against aggro, and then... maybe even a beater.
Right,
he can always attack, is the other thing. So if you equip him or enchant him or whatever, you know, it's on.
Yeah, again, kind of like the Deathcap Cultivator, where early game it serves one purpose, late game it serves a different purpose, or at least, you know, gains a second life.
Yeah. The kind of lame part is that his first purpose is kind of weak.
Yeah, that's not the best. Like, I played an 0/4 and now I can block all of your... trained right. Armadons, you
like
have
green two mana 0/4s have traditionally been I tap for a color of mana or I draw a card, which is kind of powerful. Although I guess if Moldgraf Scavenger like cycled when it entered the battlefield, it would be insane.
Oh yeah, just wall or you know wall of blossoms that also can attack with +3 power later in the game. Sure, that sounds completely reasonable.
Man, what if this thing like. Originally was a 3/4 that had Defender and then lost Defender on Delirium.
I'd like that a ton more. That's like a... There was one of those in Tarkir. It was like a 3/3 that when you had 8 power...
Oh, yeah.
Could attack.
Jeez.
So, like, this is sort of a thing we get these days, where it's, like, the Defender that can attack when... the set keyword is going on.
Right. Maybe they decided that that other version that I talked about was too powerful. It's like, no, that blocks all of the trained Armadons in the set. We can't have that.
You literally can't attack through a 3/4. Which, I mean...
That's kind of powerful starting on turn two.
Turn two, here's my infinite wall you can't block. Yeah, okay. Anyway, let's move along to the next card. Mm-hmm. The Moonlight Hunt. Green and 1 for an instant at uncommon. Choose target creature you don't control. Each creature you control that's a wolf or werewolf deals damage equal to its power to that creature.
Just get him. Hey guys, get him. I want to say that this is more reasonable as a card compared to Howlpack Resurgence. Mm. Because, like, Moonlight Hunt can basically work if you even only have one wolf.
Right.
Freaking wolf, and this is a terror. It can be, anyway.
Yeah.
Consequently, I think of this card as a like good one that I would want to pick.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I have them both sort of in the same like space of my deck needs to contain like 8 to 10 werewolves or wolves for me to win this. Mm. And like I'd probably be more likely to play this on less wolves than the other one because of the reasons you just said.
Oh, for sure. Also, like wolves and werewolves tend to be kind of large in green, so you don't have to put any extra work into making this huge. And if you have two wolves or werewolves, this is just terror.
What if I just deal 30 damage to this one creature and it gets the hell out? Like, we're not going to be seeing any of the werewolves yet, so take our word for it, they exist.
Yeah, they tend to get large. They're large to begin with, and then they get larger. Also, werewolves specifically are always, like, human werewolf on the front end, and then werewolf on the back end, so you don't have to even wait for them to flip.
Same thing with this being an instant, too. You can flip your werewolves by passing the turn, and then all of a sudden, wah!
By the way, we're huge! Crush your guy! your hat is not powerful enough to save you from us.
This guy on the art is about to get absolutely just demolished.
He is, but what doesn't make sense about this art is how it's, like, raining, right? If it's raining, how would there be moonlight?
Okay, look at how bright this, like, shot is. I don't think that...
Like, that's specifically not moonlight. That has to be, like, a thunder strike or... Some kind of, like, brief flash. And if that's the case, it's not a moonlight hunt anymore, is it, Mr. I walk out with my single hand crossbow in the rain, hoping that several werewolves will not sneak up on me.
Every day I walk outside into the storm and hope. Maybe today.
Maybe today. I want the text bubble of this card on the maybe today.
All right. Let's go ahead and take a look at our next card here. Let's move along to the Obsessive Skinner. Green and one for a 1/1 human rogue at uncommon. When Obsessive Skinner enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. Delirium. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, if there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature.
Yay, the cycle! This guy is also pretty good. Because, it's not Bond Beetle. What was the guy from Avacyn Restored who did this? It was like a common.
Yeah.
It's like Bond Beetle Man. But anyway, it was the same like stats and body, same enters the battlefield ability at a common. But this guy also does it with Delirium like every turn. So,
right. We're talking worst case Grizzly Bear.
Right.
Best like medium case. You play this, it's a 1/1, and you pump some other creature so that it all of a sudden can attack. Like, oh, I didn't think you had the ability to attack here, but now that's a 4/4. And best case, oh boy.
Welcome to the grindhouse.
Yeah.
My guys are going to keep getting larger forever.
Yeah, like, it comes down, say they have, like, you know, sorcery speed way to kill it. It comes down, pumps a creature, their upkeep pumps another creature. It's already done quite a job. You know, this is a good card. Like most of this cycle, it's very strong.
Most, like all but the blue one. Yeah, I wanted to say all, and then the blue one happened.
We've not yet seen the white one, so
yeah. Well,
or the black one. So we'll see those.
Okay.
Anyway, but if we want to talk about cards that are completely unreasonable, we can go ahead and take a look at the next card, the Pack Guardian. Double green and two for a 4/3 wolf spirit at uncommon. Flash. When Pack Guardian enters the battlefield, you may discard a land card. If you do, put a 2/2 green wolf creature token onto the battlefield.
Jeez. So, okay. To begin with, 4 mana 4/3 flash is already fine.
Right.
It looks kind of stupid in the face of all the attacking 3/2s that you're going to be up against, but then it has the second life where you have an extra land in your hand, which that's easy enough on turn 4 or whatever. Not only that, but he's flash, so you can like pass, flip all your werewolves.
Yep.
Jeez.
This plays so many games. It is a wolf and makes a wolf. So say you have Moonlight Hunt, that's 6 power, and say you had Halpak Resurgence the turn before, you know, a 5/4 that makes a 3/3 for 4 mana sounds reasonable. You know, that sort of thing. This is great at every single moment of the game.
Like, he plays well with all the synergy and plays just fine without any of it. So sure.
Like, the only synergy it doesn't get is Madness, because it specifically says a land card.
There aren't any Madness lands. I suppose not.
No, yeah, you don't have Madness land.
Sorry. That would be pretty weird.
Sort of.
Okay, no, I've got it.
We do have a sort of Madness land.
No, you'll pick up the land with the groundskeeper.
Mm.
There you go.
Or maybe maybe not. Maybe you'll just discard any land. Maybe you win the combat that's coming down in the game. Like, whoops. You thought things were great. Yeah, this is just a great card all around. And Skeleton Dog?
It's kind of Skeleton Dog.
Kind of Skeleton Dog? Like Skeleton Wolf, but like sort of. And you can see the tiny little wolf there.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of tiny little wolves, let's move along to our next card, the Quilled Wolf. Green and one for a 2/2 wolf at common. Green and five. Quilled Wolf gets +4/+4 until end of turn.
Grizzly Bear, got it.
Uh-huh. Well, Grizzly Bear, that once late game comes, it will threaten the pump that you never use because they won't make the blocks anymore.
Right. So become, yeah, like Grizzly Bear that's later unblockable, that's gonna be.
Yeah.
And you know, it can incidentally, if you have like a million mana and no board or whatever, you can Moonlight Hunt with him.
Yeah. Heck, most of the cards like this you'd think could have the Root Walla thing where they're once per turn. This one doesn't. If you have 12
if you get
lands.
To 12 mana. Yeah. No, they decided that extra bit of text would be superfluous. So that was wise, I think.
Yeah, this is a good Grizzly Bear for not only for being like a bear that gets a bit more later in the game, but also is a wolf, which we've seen a couple cards that works well with. You know, you want to be able to Moonlight Hunt, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think this is the one art in the entire set that features daytime,
other than the Moonlight Hunt, which might or may not,
which is some kind of like who knows what time this is. Features daytime like that Moonlight. Oh, Magic is a silly game.
Yes, it is. Speaking of Moonlight Hunt, let's go ahead and take a look at the next card here. Rabid Bite. Green and one for a sorcery at common. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to target creature you don't control.
Now, this is how you know that I didn't end up getting that job at Wizards way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I had, I would have designed this card, and I would have called it Man Bites Dog. And that would be... and then we'd be golden.
That's even what the art... They made the art for that purpose, too. This is Man Bites Dog right there.
I'm a little sad about that. Anyway, this card is great.
Oh, God, yes. Like
one-way fight! Ah!
We've seen that green gets these, like, trained Armadons all over the place and bigger creatures, so you're effectively always going to be able to have a creature that, you know, is big enough to do what it needs. One-way fight.
Yeah. That's all there is to it. This card is great.
Yeah. This is the removal piece that's gonna get you if you're, you know, behind on the turns. Or at any point.
Yeah, green, known removal color, apparently.
Yeah, these days. I guess so. Anyway, that's Man Bites Dog. Sadly not called Man Bites Dog. still biting the dog.
Still. Yep.
Alright, let's move along to Root Out. Green and two for a sorcery at common. Destroy target artifact or enchantment. Investigate.
Every time I read this card, I saw it instant...
Same?
I just read instant. I'm like, man, that's good. Mm, yeah.
Like, oh, okay, good. +1 on your naturalize.
Right. And then it always happens that I'm like, yeah, end of turn, I'll just pass because this says sorcery on it, in fact.
And there's not always a ton of cards you want to hit with this, which, I mean, that's sort of why the naturalize works. We're not in a world where you main deck it.
Right. I mean, all you're going to do is put an enchantment in their yard and be like, yes, I have delirium now.
Ha ha. Gotcha. Like, I guess there are a number of artifacts I can think of. Slayer's Plate immediately comes to mind. But, like, there are a number of reasons why you would side this in. So.
Yeah. It's not just dead, but it is kind of dull, I guess.
We got the front and center.
Like, how do you get the root out, I wonder? Someone did.
Is that like a giant, like, tooth? Is that the root we're talking about?
So the person in the doorway is actually a dentist, is what you're saying.
With that axe, yes.
Axe dentist.
Look, when you work with teeth this large, you have to use some
That you definitely would need different tools. No, I'll bet for that purpose that the hat is actually reflective.
Mm.
Like, it's got a mirror on it or something.
Yeah.
That's clearly the only way that this makes sense.
Yep. Let's go ahead and assume that and move along to the next card. Seasons Past. Double green and 4 for a sorcery at Mythic Rare. Return any number of cards with different converted mana costs from your graveyard to your hand. Put Seasons Past on the bottom of its owner's library.
So... I guess a card that's like draw 5 cards can be okay.
Yeah. Like, on, you know, maybe the idea is on turns 1 through 5, play a spell that costs 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, be on curve.
Mm-hmm.
And then on 6, you get to pick them all up.
Yeah. So I've already seen a standard deck that uses Seasons Past. Just mm-hmm. fills the yard, and they're like, well, let me just rebuy all my value cards. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me rebuy my everything, basically.
Yeah. Oh, what was my 5-drop I picked up? Dark Petition. What's that do? Oh, where? Hold on. Seasons Past went where? Not removed from the game?
Yeah, let me just fetch my Seasons Past.
And then you set up the loop there, and
yep, like, and presumably you're getting value out of these cards somehow by casting them. So
right,
yeah.
So this is a strong, you know, pickup. We've seen.
I would honestly play this in limited, like, no lie.
Yeah, I'd play this in limited as well. Like, even if it's just like, what? Okay, you pay this on not on 6, but like you play this and it picks up maybe like 4 cards.
Yeah, maybe, and, like, 2 creatures in a land, even. It's like, okay, sure.
Well, you pick up your 2-drop, your 3-drop, your 4-drop in a land, and it's like, okay, sweet. And also, my 2-drop was, like, Man Bites Dog, so... You know, this is good.
It's not... I guess what we're saying is it's not hard to make this work, and it can do...
Yeah.
It can do easily the job that... Oh, what is that card called? It's like a blue card that's just straight 6 mana, draw 4 cards or something.
Opportunity.
Like, or straight up opportunity.
If you want to get into standard legal cards, there's the opportunity that has, like, the word dragon on it 6 times.
Right. If you dragon, then dragon, dragon.
Dragon, 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 draw 4 cards.
That's like a Robo Rosewater card. It's just dragon, 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 draw 4 cards. This is a real card.
It is. That's an actual card that exists. All right. Let's take a look at another card that exists.
Mm.
Let's take a look at Second Harvest. Uh-huh. Double green and 2 for an instant at rare. For each token you control, put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of that permanent. What is going on in this card? Like,
are they harvesting men?
Like,
is that the idea?
Like, because there's a mirror, you know, like the left side and the right side are
right.
The same. You have that the same old guy with that beard.
Yeah, I mean that's supposed to be like, so humans are the tokens? Why doesn't it just show a whole pile of clues? Because that's all you're getting out of this.
Wait, is it corn? Because the flavor text talks about corn.
Right. No, they're literally they're literally talking about harvesting dudes.
I guess.
Is this where babies come from? Or the cabbage patch? The cornfield? They just walk out of the wilderness?
Well, wait, I have heard about the children of the corn.
Oh, well, these are the, like, grizzled adults of the corn.
This isn't something you're going to be playing very often, I don't think.
I want to believe in the clue deck that's like, second harvest, four more clues.
Okay, I can tell you about my one experience playing against this card in Limited.
All right.
My opponent splashed green just for this.
Oh my god.
And used a bunch of the black and blue zombie token generators. There's a black one that's like madness that makes two of them. There's the blue spell that's for each instant or sorcery in your yard, make a 2/2. And then they played the triple demonic tutor and just grabbed all of them and second harvest at the same time.
Jeez.
It took a billion mana and didn't win them the game because of it, but it was incredibly cool. Which is probably what you're getting out of this card. Like, maybe there, it does say permanent, so it does copy clues. That's more than likely its only real use, because there's not a ton of other, like, there's some 2/2 token generation in.
Right. I honestly think that this is kind of weak, even for as conditional it is, and how, like, this, one, this should have been, like, an enchantment that did it every upkeep or something.
Ah, so it's that, what was the one in
Singling Populate? Season?
No. Just Populate, the one that made a copy of a token every turn.
Yeah, that would be okay.
Yeah,
and for another, it's like, you're going to cast this and be like, yes, I paid 4 mana an instant and made 2 clues. I'm the man.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move out of the cornfield here. We've got next up the Silver Fur Partisan. Green and 2 for a 2/2 wolf warrior at rare. Trample. Whenever a wolf or werewolf you control becomes the target of an instant or sorcery spell, put a 2/2 green wolf creature token onto the battlefield.
Ah, standard tribal plant.
Hey. You should play giant growths.
Yeah.
Also, like, your opponent's kill spells give you free 2/2s.
Oh, it doesn't specify opponents?
No.
Oh, this is actually okay.
Yeah. It's,
I was worried that this was some kind of lame imitation of, what's the thing? You know, the guy, the green and white 2/2 mixed tokens. Spirit of Vengeance or something.
Voice of Resurgence?
Voice of Resurgence. Spirit of Vengeance. That's got to be.
That's Ari.
Ah, all right. Vengeance of Akka.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Which is a green and a white. So
Anyway, yeah, Gray Ogre with upside and play instants and sorceries and holy crap.
Right, so if it works both ways, so Rabid Bite targets, so okay, I play my kill spell and get a 2/2 for it. You know, your pump spells get to target. The Moonlight Hunt doesn't. It targets your opponent's creature and then just says each creature you control. So it doesn't work that way. But every other pump spell that we've seen that's good gets better with this, and all of your opponent's removal spells get a little worse. All for the price of a Gray Ogre.
That is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the lamest part of this card is the flavor text, which I want to say is the hugest punt.
Their flavor text is trying to explain more of, like, why werewolves exist or wolfier exists.
Yeah. That's definitely why that says that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also it's only one sentence,
yep,
and 6 total words, and I'm bored before I reach the end of it. I'm just like,
That is a sentence out of a historical document.
Right. Like, where. Oh my god, why can't I ever remain Allendale, the naturalist, the BBC guy.
Attenborough.
Aldale.
Yeah.
David Attenborough. So, like, if this were the opening sentence of a David Attenborough nature documentary on the wolf ear, then I'd be interested. Then I'd be like, all right, let's sit down and learn and watch these things in their natural habitat.
Yeah, and you get to see how the two wolf tokens are made and how they fight off predators.
Watch as the silver-fur partisan becomes the target of an instant or sorcery spell.
Oh boy. All right, let's move along to our next card here. The Soul Swallower. Double green and two for a 3/3 worm at rare. Trample. At the beginning of your upkeep, if there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard, put 3+1/+1 counters on Soul Swallower.
Yeesh.
Oh my god, I've misplayed this card for the last month and a half. Nice. I thought it was two.
Two counters?
Yeah, I thought it was two counters. This card's a lot better than I thought. And it was already,
it's still great.
Yeah, it was already, really good.
It also answers the question of what kind of monster would eat a ghost.
Yeah, look at all those, ghost hands that are just trying to grab their way out.
I want to say this guy belongs on Ravnica, actually, because Ravnica had this thing where, nothing could ever die and there's ghosts all over the place. Also, this worm is, partially made out of the street.
Yeah, that's cobblestone. Right. That would work really well in Ravnica, the soul-swallowing worm that eats all the ghosts.
Right, and then when it goes to rest, then you can just use it as a road or bridge.
Mm-hmm. I think we had things like that, the worms that were bridges.
That was a Tocton worm.
Mm-hmm.
So he was autochthonous. And then... Well, yeah, the other one that was Street Breaker.
Yeah, Street Breaker. That's
so. Oh man, mortal enemies right here. Soul Swallower worm.
Oh, they fight. And...
Depending on if you have Delirium or not, one or the other will win.
Yeah, but no, this card is one of the reasons to want to have Delirium on, because you get an incredible bonus on your already reasonable. You know, we had Hill Giant with Trample above the Provisioner.
Mm-hmm.
That's just fine.
He's decent.
So, all right, next up, we have one of my favorites, the Stoic Builder. Green and two for a 2/3 human at common. When Stoic Builder enters the battlefield, you may return target land card from your graveyard to your hand.
Why don't you tell us why you love this guy?
All right, so the reason I love this guy has absolutely nothing to do with the text. It has everything to do with the art. This man is definitely a man who, off screen, just off to the side there, has a pickup truck ready for him to just lay down those. He's just gonna flip the wood directly into his pickup truck and then put a single foot up on the bed and look at the camera.
Yeah, that's him. He's the what was happening 5 seconds before that shot. It's this.
He was finding some lumber.
I also like how, even though he is Bob the Builder, he also has a sword at his side.
Yeah.
You have to, build someone's defeat?
Look, sometimes you have to, yes. That's I'm sure he has at least one or two, one-line quips for that. He probably uses the same one every time, but nobody notices because, they're dead.
Right. They have been defeated by a 2-mana 2/3. Or a 3-mana 2. Oh my god, this guy with 2-mana.
Yeah. No, this person also doesn't have a job.
I mean, he's just human.
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder how many of those there are, actually.
Human?
Just straight human. Most humans get, human scout, human warrior, human priest, human...
Right, this human is just human...
Which is weird, because this is definitely a guy with a job, you know?
Right. What, was human lumberjack? Just not... couldn't do that?
Human Jack. Well, if there were a human lumberjack, we would have to give it to another of the of the set's cards, too.
That's true. The co-worker of the Stoic Builder.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that one is a werewolf, too, so it wouldn't fit on the type line. So okay. They couldn't do it. They couldn't put lumberjacks in.
Yeah. So, that said, looking at the card itself, it's Kerloon Minotaur with sometimes an upside.
That's decent. I like this guy.
Like, sometimes this is a reason you might want to play Fork in the Road on two. So.
Yeah, I'm not convinced of that yet.
Yeah. Anyway, I this was one of the early cards spoiled, and that was the first thought that entered my head with it, and it's made me love this card ever since.
Load them up.
All right. Next up, we have the Thornhide Wolves. Green and four for a 4/5 wolf at common. But that's it.
Yep. It is a wolf.
So the dogs
is the,
are...
like, okay, so far... We have had precisely one vanilla creature in every color. I want to say that's a rule. I'm pretty sure. Because in
we had a one
in red, we had Cobblebrute.
We had a 1/3 in blue.
Right.
And now we have this one.
And now we have this one. We have the... what's the reverse of Spinedorm? Dennis?
Earth Elemental?
I guess that's a thing. I do want it to somehow be a reverse of Spined Worm, because the wolves have thorns, which are like spines, so...
This is also, like, plus one on dogs.
Well, the spines, clearly.
Yeah, the spines.
That's worth one extra power. This card is fine. Maybe even good.
I'm actually generally impressed when I see this card, just because a 4/5 is a... Such a sizable body against the 3/3s we've been seeing.
We're never going to have Nessie and Asp again. I'm so sad about that. Nessie and Asp was so awesome.
We'll never see Mozzler again. Like, and
what if this card also had a reach and then an ability that made it huge?
Yeah, what if it was an 8/9 as well on,
like,
top of it?
Whatever.
At common. Good God. Yeah, nothing will ever be Nessie and Asp again.
Well, that's not to diminish Thornhide Wolves. Even the ability of being a wolf can be something in this set.
Right. We've seen a number of cards that make that matter, so... Good on you, Thornhide Wolves. Next up, we have the Tireless Tracker. Green and two for a 3/2 human scout at rare. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, investigate. Whenever you sacrifice a clue, put a +1/+1 counter on Tireless Tracker.
So why doesn't this say landfall?
Great question. Because it wasn't printed in a set with landfall, even though that is literally landfall. Like, I saw
also
this card.
The previous set had landfall, and we're like, oh. Yeah.
When I first saw this card, there was a sundial, Sears sundial, I thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And this card, like, blows that out of the water, like, six ways from Sunday.
Oh, no, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I don't want to diminish the, like, awesomeness of this card.
But no, I have no idea. Why don't they use keywords keywords?
Like, it would not require that much more space on the card's text. And then it would... reinforced to newer players who had been, you know, maybe you started last set. They're like, oh yeah, landfall, I get it. Yeah. And then you don't see it here, and you're like, and you have to, like, read it so many times to see if there's a difference that, like, makes one landfall and one not. Well, and you won't find it.
Yeah, is it like when they play a land? No, it's your control.
It might. Does it matter how the land enters the battlefield? Like, do I play it or no?
No.
Nope.
Mm.
Anyway,
yeah, we haven't talked too much about the power of the card, because the power of the card is, like, kind of ridiculous as far as one card goes. Like, you play this on turn four, four in your land after, or, you know, play it on three and it's like answer this, or every land I play for the rest of the game is not only cantripping, but also pumping this creature. Like, what the heck? Also, is a 3/2 base, you know?
It's crazy. Not to mention that we do have a, what's it called? Navolving Wilds.
Mmm, it's true, it's true.
So it's like, bam, two clues.
Have fun. Yeah, that's a really good card.
All right.
Let's move along to Traverse the Uvenwald. A single green for a sorcery at rare. Search your library for a basic land card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. Delirium. If there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard, instead, search your library for a creature or land card. Reveal it, put it in your hand, then shuffle your library.
So, Creature Tutor? But it was Delirium?
Yeah. Also, technically, the land tutor loses the basic land when it becomes the Delirium as well.
Oh, I see. Well, that's neat.
I mean,
this seems like it would be hard to use.
Yeah, I could say, like, so if this is on, holy smokes, this is a powerful tutor. Like, as far as, like, efficiency, nothing can beat it.
Hmm.
You know, if your Delirium's on it.
Most of the time when you're casting Demonic Tutor, you're looking for a creature anyway. I guess there's the downside that because it's conditional at all, you do have to reveal the thing to prove that it counts.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, you reveal the creature and then cast the creature. It's not like you're giving away a bunch of information.
Yeah, I'm revealing this creature that's about to beat you up. Oh, look, this creature that's about to beat you up.
Right. Oh, hey, and you can get the land out of it anyway by searching for Primeval Titan. And then... Yeah, I honestly think that this is more a plant for constructed formats. I don't really see it doing anything in Limited. It just doesn't do enough on the front end.
In Limited, it's kind of like... funnily enough, it's like Fork in the Road. Like, okay, you know, or, you know, go grab a land to fix. But it doesn't push you into Delirium, which you want if you're playing this card.
Yeah, so. That's a little weird.
Yeah.
I guess in some Limited decks, it can be like a backup copy of your busted Mythic Rare or whatever.
Yeah, I mean...
That's not bad.
Heck, and if you know, that's going to be just fine. Worst case, you know, it's Caravan Vigil, which was a card from the first Innistrad.
Yeah. You know what my favorite part of this card is, though?
What's that?
How the illustration looks like nothing. Like, okay.
Trees.
We're looking at it at, like, full size as, like, large card art right now, but if it's tiny and across the table, this isn't going to look... It's just going to look black. It's like, oh, my opponent cast...
Something.
A void. Like...
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Like, there's like, the horsed figure in the center there.
Yeah, it's too tiny, though. There's, right. There's all this, like, it's just... I really hope that, I guess, Vincent Prose, in this case, was painting on a black canvas or something, because otherwise, that's just way too much paint.
That's huge, yeah. That's too much there. All right, well, speaking of Primeval Titan...
Hey.
Let's go ahead and take a look at our next card, the Uvenwald Hydra. Double green and four for a star Hydra at Mythic Rare. Reach. Uvenwald Hydra's power and toughness are equal to the number of lands you control. When Uvenwald Hydra enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a land card, put it onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library.
Holy smokes!
So this is what was in the Uvenwald. This gets you your creature and your land, and then is huge.
I see.
So
they found it. Oh, and there's a bunch of cryptoliths in the art, too.
Yep, you know, they're pointing off to the side there while the
Hydra... I'm honestly impressed with how straightforward this card is. I mean, it's kind of a whiff that it has... why the hell does this have reach instead of...
Trample.
Like, trample, like a better keyword. Like, oh, they didn't want it to be, like, too powerful or something?
They've been,
I don't know.
They've been doing that a lot lately with green big creatures. They had a Worldbreaker has reach from the previous set. And I can think of a couple other, like, just large creature. What keyword should we give it? Reach.
Maybe they should stop giving them keywords at all and admit that, like, hugeness is kind of a keyword in itself.
Yeah.
What if being a 6-mana 7/7 is, like, that's an ability, okay?
Yeah. Not only that, but a 6-mana 7/7 that goes and grabs, you know, any land. Like, sweet, okay. It's like, this is not Primeval Titan. Like, Primeval Titan, like, I get every land out of my deck forever. But Primeval Titan didn't continue to grow unended, you know.
Right. Also, you know, you don't necessarily play this on six. Maybe you have 8 or 9 lands out.
Right.
Hey.
No, this is like, if I'm drafting, this is something I'm super slamming down right when I see it.
Yeah, everything that you want out of a mythic rare, really.
Mm-hmm. This is what was in the Uvenwald.
We found it. We traversed it and we found it. Like right there, back to back.
Alright. Well, Uvenwald still has some more stuff for us though.
Mm.
If we take a look at our next card, the Uvenwald Mysteries. Green and 2 for an enchantment at uncommon. Whenever a non-token creature you control dies, investigate. Whenever you sacrifice a clue, put a 1/1 white human soldier creature token onto the battlefield.
This seems alright.
This is like miles above that like creeping crawling sensation.
Right. Wow, at uncommon as an enchantment at the same cost.
Making 1/1s.
That's a little weird.
This thing is a carded, like, you know, card advantage machine of like, okay, you know, stalled board state, make trade. Oh, by the way, draw 2 cards, make 2 1/1 tokens.
Like, importantly, it's giving you a card advantage and board presence at the same time.
Yes.
So the board presence allows you to stall to make your card advantage more relevant, and it feeds into itself that way. And a kind of way that, like, it takes you from beginner to intermediate player in understanding the power of this. It's like, if you're newer and you look at this and it's like, wow, this doesn't look like it does anything, you know, on its own it doesn't. You have to like have your creatures die. Well, I don't want my creatures to die.
Well, nobody ever does, but they're gonna trust me.
Yep, may as well get something out of it.
Right.
To be honest, the only remaining mystery on this card is, buddy, your hat is just not doing it. There's so many much better hats.
It looks like he has like a helmet, like in the center of the hat.
Right, like the floppy helmet. Get right out of town, Mr. Investigator.
Yeah.
Faking the funk. I'll bet it was something like he needed a helmet. It was like, man, I'm wading into battle all the time. The battle against the unknown or something.
Or the known.
Or the known. It's like, I'd better protect my head. But man, all my buddies have these sweet-looking hats. If only I could have the best of both worlds.
Buddy, I can't speak for how good the helmet is, but you certainly didn't get the good hat. All right. Let's go ahead and take a look at the next card, the Vessel of Nascency. A single green for an enchantment at common. Green and 1, sacrifice Vessel of Nascency. Reveal the top 4 cards of your library. You may put an artifact, creature, enchantment, land, or planeswalker card from among them into your hand. Put the rest into your graveyard.
Well, that seems pretty good.
So yeah, back when we saw the blue vessel, I mentioned that the blue vessel, the reason I wasn't a huge fan of it is that the green one just does exactly what it does, but better.
I had already forgotten about that.
Yeah, so this is the vessel. It's the same total mana cost, but better because it's 1 then 2. And looks at the top 4 cards, whereas the blue one mills 3, then draws a card. So this one gives you selection and then puts the other 3 down.
Hmm.
Yeah, this if you want Delirium Enablers, this does it all in one.
That's crazy. Man, that's nuts, because you're like milling yourself and you get an enchantment right away.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah, and
the other kind of weird part is like all the other, well, I want to say the other vessels have sort of been card analogs just turned into enchantments.
Yeah, like they kind of have.
What card is this? What like, does this?
Because the blue one is not exactly Mental Note, but it's basically Mental Note with a bit of a change.
Oh wait, is that why they call it Nascency? Because this one is new?
The closest I have to this is like the Oath of Nyssa from the previous set, but even
right,
that
but even still, I guess it has to be kind of new if it has the word planeswalker on a common.
Because so the reason it says artifact, creature, enchantment, land, or planeswalker is because they can't say the word permanent. Like
it's not rare, right? It does, but a permanent is only a permanent on the battlefield.
Well, you can say permanent card
you
though.
Can? Wait, a minute.
There's a green regrowth that says permanent card. What I need to
right,
find.
Right. I remember that. Well, what the hell? What's wrong with saying permanent card on this?
Either you can't do it when it's in a like non-graveyard zone, or they wanted to list them all out for some reason. Because they were... Actually, it might have been they wanted to list them all out because they would have had to have the reminder text of what a permanent card is, and that might not have fit on here, because this is already...
Ha.
What, 7 lines?
Ah, I see. So by listing them all out, they save themselves space. Mm-hmm. I got it.
But no, this is really good with Delirium, but even without its card selection, like you have this and it's like, I get to look at the top 4 and pick the best card.
Yeah. And it's not even that hard to have like one Delirium card in your deck or whatever. Like,
right.
Oh, I give my huge boar trample incidentally. It's
my ooze can now make double ooze.
Okay, that's a little different.
Well, like, the thing, I mean, you'd play the ooze even if you didn't have Delirium.
You probably would, yeah.
So but yeah, I'm a big fan of this vessel. It's a good vessel. Anyway, let's move along to the Veteran Kathar. Green and 1 for a 2/2 human soldier at uncommon. White and 3. Target human gains double strike until end of turn.
Pretty solid. I want to say that we have a cycle of these too, right? The like
yes.
Uncommon color, buddy color activation.
In red, we had the wolf that handed off indestructible on green activation, and then in blue, we had a zombie that handed off death touch. And they're also not only color off color, but also the tribe between them.
Oh, that's true. Because like wolves for the red one and zombies for the blue one. So yep. Green white is supposed to be humans.
Yep, that was always the...
What green humans do we have? Like, this is not a travel preparation set. Get out of here with that.
Oh, the big thing is, like, if we take a look at the cards we have, yeah, we probably only have, like, 3 humans, but the front side of werewolves.
I guess. That's weird. Like, werewolves get to play this bumper
Actually, no, we have about 8 humans in green right now. Brerwich Patrol, Byway Courier, the Cult... Which the cult of being a spined worm is a human.
Cult of spined worm.
Yeah, Deathcap Cultivator.
There's Pickup Truck Man who is human yep. alone.
And the Provisioner is a human.
Yeah, no, this card's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
I really wish that they had made a words swords pun with the flavor text instead of saying prayers and hands, because. Oh, but maybe, like, you pray with your hands, so putting my faith in, like, praying with my sword. I don't know. I want to say that there's a better joke in there with that same concept, like a 100% upgrade.
I guess part of it is the, like, if we're talking from, like, a flavor from the set thing, it's the, well, I, you know, the angels have betrayed us, we can't put our faith in them, put your faith in swords instead. I mean, that works.
Yeah, it'll do.
So, all right. Good grizzly bear. Very good. Next up, Watcher in the Web. Green and 4 for a 2/5 spider at common. Reach. Watcher in the Web can block an additional 7 creatures each combat.
Oh, man. Remember all those times we get into a limited stall not even a stall at this step, but, mm-hmm. you know, we say, all right, well, now they have to somehow produce 3 blockers or they can't win. Or they're like, they lose on the spot. And they're like, Watcher in the Web, I have 8 blockers. Oh.
Ugh.
Great.
my experience against this card has been, all right, you know, I've got all these, I've got like three flyers, they're, you know, attacking, this is going well. Well, bam, none of them get to attack anymore. Oh. Hmm.
That's... So, yeah, this guy's kind of good.
Yeah, not great as far as like efficiency and stats goes. Like, you're getting plus one toughness on Giant Spider for the extra mana, but what it represents in the, oh, this card is on the table, I can't die next turn.
Mm-hmm.
That's something.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at best, it's going to take one of the creatures it's blocking with it, probably.
Unless they're right.
Attacking with a bunch of, like, one toughness guys, and it can take two of them.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Well, in flyers, there might be a couple one toughness ones, so...
Yeah, that's true. Or if you give this guy a horse, then you're just like, ah, this is the iron wall.
You block and then give this the might beyond reason.
Equip it with basically anything.
Ugh, jeez.
Wait, if we give it might beyond reason, does it lose its shirt?
Yes.
Is it no longer woolly?
Well, what happened is it found a shirt on one of the, like, bodies and then just, like, ah.
Wait, or would it get, like, these two beefy human arms?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, human arm. Yeah, I like that.
That's just got to be better.
Two beefy human arms show up and it's like, oh, no.
Come at me, bro.
All right, let's move along to the last card in green, the Weirding Wood. Green and two for an enchantment aura at uncommon. Enchant land. When Weirding Wood enters the battlefield, investigate. Enchanted land has tap, add two mana of any one color to your mana pool.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it like replaces itself, so that's kind of what you want out of the little ramping enchantment kind of things.
Yep. So of note, like, this isn't fertile ground in the sense that it doesn't make the land tap for additional mana. It gives the land the ability to tap for two.
Right. Like, so, putting an additional Weirding Wood on a land won't do anything. It just has two separate instances of this, like, tap ability.
Right. So it's really only pushing you up one mana. But it's self-replacing.
Oh my god, is that the only ramp in the entire green that we... Oh, Deathcap Cultivator, he counts.
Deathcap, yeah.
I was about to say, wow, they are really cracking down on ramp.
Yes, they are.
Ugh, that's too busted. And you go even, like, I don't know how many sets back you'd have to go. But in Modern, anyway, there's, like, a Scape Shift deck. And...
Mm-hmm.
Ramp is just completely out of control, and I don't think they could possibly make it any worse.
Right, like, I mean, in Modern, if you're looking at Scape Shift, you have Sack Tribe Elder and Explore as, like, the big two mana options that it plays. And if we're looking at just ramp that exists in other areas, like, you have things like Kodama's Reach / Cultivate /
Honestly, the way they treat ramp feels mm-hmm. like the, well, I should say, the way they're treating ramp now feels like what they did to mono rituals in red, like, a couple of years ago. Maybe even like 5 or 10 years ago.
It's not that bad yet, but yeah, I can definitely see that. Like
we used to have decent ones, and now we have, like, garbage ones, and then the decent ones get banned, and oh.
I still find that weird that it's a thing they keep going to, because the only two outcomes are this card is busted or this card is worthless. And this set, we have the worthless side of it.
Yay!
You know? We have the vessel of you don't want this.
Right. But okay, anyway. So what do you think of the green cards as a whole here?
Oh, like I said earlier, we're still missing a, you know, kind of a sizable chunk of green, its identity, more so than any other color. But what we do have, I'm a fan. Like, efficient creatures, good removal.
Trained Armadons and Fight Club.
Yeah. And, like, a number of tricks, and then just a couple cards that, you know, like, Uvenwald mysteries that, you know, you play this and all of a sudden it's like, oh.
I do you like know. Having cards that say mysteries on them.
Yeah, the mysteries. The mysterious.
I'd also like how basically every incidental creature, to prove that it is dangerous, has an illustration that features a human skull.
Skull.